The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 4 degrees and sunny at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I am Leila Aouma. Here are today's headlines. A homeless camp threatened with eviction, Bill 21 debated in court, and the Liberal Party of Quebec in limbo. A group of homeless people are currently living in tents under the Ville-Marie Expressway, but they have been told they have to leave by Thursday morning. Our reporter Simon Fournet is there on the scene. Simon, how's the situation like under the expressway this morning?
Well, Leila, some encampment spots seem to have been cleared out already, but there are still about a dozen tents up that are still occupied.
Why are those people getting evicted in a couple of days?
Well, the Quebec Ministry of Transport explained that they have to do maintenance work on the expressway above it, and that's why they asked the people living under the suspended road to vacate the area. I talked to Stéphane Becca, who comes here often to play tennis on the bridge, and we talked to the engineers in charge of the project, and he explained that the structure is very old and rusty, making it very brittle, which is why it has to be replaced. The ministry gave the residents 10 days to leave the area.
And where are people going to go?
The Ministry of Transport has brought in social aid groups to help relocate the residents, but Montreal homeless shelters are experiencing a crisis at the moment. I talked to Ali, who works at the local youth center that offers transitional housing to people experiencing homelessness, and she says she's worried about the current situation, especially with the coming of winter.
The sad thing is that the winter is coming and there are very few beds anywhere. And even with the emergency centers, the people have to line up very early and they're not guaranteed a bed. So this is the reality that we're facing right now.
Police are expected to move in on Thursday to make sure everyone has been evicted before 9 a.m.
Thank you for this report, Simon. An affordable housing lobby group is protesting today to combat the housing crisis. They say the promises made to support social housing were not met. The protests will take place in front of the office of Francilène Duranceau, the minister responsible for housing. Jessica Jacobowitz has the story.
There will be a protest today held by the Regroupement des Comités Logement et Associations des Tenants du Québec. They will be demanding that their measures to counter the housing crisis are met. Their Rick Dussault said they will be giving the new minister a letter to meet her, as in the last 4 years, the last minister, André Laforêt, has declined all the demands to meet her and talk about the housing crisis, rapid rent hike, and absence of rent control.
What we're going to do is we're going to go to her office to deliver her two things. We're going to deliver our latest study on rent hikes in Quebec, which shows that there is an increasing problem of rent hikes throughout the province of Quebec.
Inez Benesaya, community organizer at Papir Southwest Housing Committee, says that it's not enough and we need to do more for the people of Montreal.
Losing their house, losing their social network, living society, even death, it's terrible to say, but for especially old people, with low income revenue, that housing crisis is affecting more low income.
The protest started at 11 a.m. and planned to be in front of the office of the new Minister of Housing at 12 p.m., where she would be given the letter to meet with the group. This was Jessica Jacobowitz, Concordia News.
Two people were stabbed in the city over the last 48 hours. A 34-year-old man died from his injuries after being attacked in Chinatown on Sunday. He was stabbed in the upper body during an altercation involving a few people around 10 p.m. The police released the only man they arrested and are still looking for suspects. This happened after another man was also fatally stabbed in Outremont Sunday morning. A Molotov cocktail was thrown on a commercial building this morning in the Saint-Laurent borough. A call to 911 alerted the police of the attempted fire at 3 a.m. A fire did not ensue, but it broke the window of a restaurant on Côte-Vertu Boulevard. No one was harmed and no suspects were found on the scene. This is one of many criminal fires that happened recently around the city. Police say cars and businesses are targeted. An investigation is ongoing. more and more people are being diagnosed with cancer. According to a new report, the aging population has seen the largest increase over the last 5 years. The new technological advancements to diagnose and prevent cancer mean that people are living longer, but it's putting a strain on the already failing healthcare system. Ashka Patel has been following the story and joins us live. Ashka, there are some surprising numbers in this report.
Yes, so over the last 5 years, the number of people diagnosed with cancer have increased almost by 28,000. This number is concerning with the burnout which we see in the healthcare workers at this moment in Canada.
So this is happening even as our healthcare system is suffering from shortages.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. So, as you know, we don't have enough family doctors for the population. And in Montreal alone, 40% of people don't have a family doctor. So this creates a number of problems. First of all, in being able to diagnose cancers. So there's a lot of people who are not being screened for cancers like breast cancer, colon cancer. So we're under-detecting people with it. And of course, the second part of this is people who have been diagnosed with cancer don't have family doctors to follow them. And, you know, they might have an oncologist.
So this was Dr. Michelle Caitlin. He is a family doctor in Montreal. And there is also the emergency rooms which have been full. The emergency rooms at Montreal have been at 130% capacity. Few of them have been more than 130% capacity, including Montreal General at 184% and Jewish General at 175% capacity.
And what does the government say on this situation?
The Director General from Health Statistics Branch at Statistics Canada, Jeff Latimer, commented on the situation by saying this report is not only important for the research, cancer research itself and the diagnosis, but it is important for the it is also important for how we are going to deal with the healthcare system.
Thank you, Ashka, for this report. Today, Quebec's Court of Appeals is on day two of the hearings about Bill 21. This law would forbid wearing visual religious symbols for some state jobs, like teachers and police officers. Our reporter Lucia Cassagnet is live on Notre Dame Street. Lucia, what is the testimony being heard today?
Leila, today's focus is on the disproportionate effect the law will have on women compared to men. The Women's Legal Education and Action Fund, as well as Quebec Women Federation, are appealing Bill 21. In the public jobs, Muslim women who wear the hijab or the niqab feel particularly targeted by this bill. One of the lawyers present explained how this bill sets itself within the idea of neutrality.
And so when we're talking about state neutrality, what we're actually talking about is the adoption by the state of a position that favors or disfavors one religion over...
What are the arguments against the bill?
Today's appeals are based on two main arguments coming from the Quebec Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So Article 28 requires that the rights and freedoms guaranteed by the Charter be implemented without discrimination between the sexes. And Article 3 states that everyone is entitled to fundamental freedoms, such as freedom of conscience, opinion, expression, peaceful assembly, and association. The lawyers say that Bill 21 directly affects Article 28.
And serves to invalidate the prohibition on religious symbols contained in Bill 21, namely Section 6 and 8.
Are there other groups appealing the law?
Yes. In the first list of who's participating in the appeals, I saw among those the Teachers Union, the World Sikh Organization of Canada, the National Council of Canadian Muslims, and the Corporation of the Canadian Civil Liberties Association. Earlier, the Canadian Civil Liberties Association said they would take the hearings to the Supreme Court if it was necessary.
And how long do these organizations have to appeal the bill?
The hearings, which started yesterday, go on until this Thursday, November 10. There will be another one for a day on the 16th next week as well. After that, the judges will have to discuss amongst themselves and decide whether this bill is going against the Constitution or not.
Thank you, Lucia. A poll reveals that 17% of Liberal supporters think former Montreal Mayor Denis Coderre is the best candidate to run the Liberal Party of Quebec. After party leader Dominique Anglade resigned yesterday, who will replace her remains unclear. Poll respondents favored Coderre over 10 other potential candidates, including Hydro-Québec CEO Sophie Brochu and ex-Health Minister Gaétan Barrette. The Quebec Liberals are once again without a leader since Dominique Anglade announced her resignation on Monday. She also said that she will step down as the MNA for her riding of Saint-Henri-Sainte-Anne as of December 1. This comes off the back of a turbulent few weeks following the October 3rd provincial election. What does this mean for the future of the party? Chairwoman Jessie Boisdoux spoke to political analyst Jimmy Zubry on where Anglade went wrong.
I think one of the it's easy to play Monday morning quarterback, but the thing with Dominique Anglade is that it's clear that not just her, but the Liberal Party itself has not found a way to connect with Francophone voters. And if you look at the previous elections and even this one, I believe it's 60 ridings I saw this morning where the Liberal Party finished either third or fourth, not even second. And this is the official opposition of the city.
What do you think the next leader of the Liberal Party should do in order to be able to bridge that gap and be able to make those connections with the Francophone communities outside of Montreal?
Well, one, I think they have to do a good job of recruiting. I know in the last election, we saw that even safe seats, where they had opened up nomination, they weren't getting a lot of nominations, not a lot of people running in those investitures. So,
are the Liberals only losing support because of their damaged relationship with the French-speaking population?
I think that's a large part of it. But at the same time, the one thing that was very clear in the last election was people were not clear of what the Liberal Party stood for.
Do you think Denis Coderre would make a good replacement for Anglade?
A lot of it is based on name recognition. I don't know if he's the right person or not. Yeah, obviously, he just lost two elections. And at the same time, he's very identified with Montreal. I think the next person that the Liberals choose has to be somebody who can not only solidify Montreal, I think Denis Coderre could probably do that, but be able to go out to the regions and get support.
The official opposition at Montreal City Hall asked for more money transfers to the boroughs. Also, Montréal fears that population growth, inflation, and old infrastructure are putting their finances at risk. Clément Lechat has the story.
Mayors across the island claim they may need to raise local taxes and take money from their savings to finance essential services and restore the budget balance. Stephanie Balenduela is a city councillor for the borough of Darlington in NDG. She says boroughs should have more financial independence to make their own decisions.
All Montrealers will be suffering if we do not receive an adequate transfer from Centre City. The quality of our service will be reduced because we won't be able to afford it and pay for it.
Jimmy Zubris is a special advisor to the mayor on business. He thinks boroughs will have to tighten their belt and be more creative with their budgets.
A lot of businesses and individuals are going to go through tough times, and we're seeing it with inflation. So I think we have to be a little responsible with money, and I would expect that the opposition should be able to do with what they got to offer the services to the citizens.
The City of Montreal will present its budget on the 29th of November. Ensemble Montréal will see if their call has been heard. Clément Lechat, Concordia News.
Astonishing numbers of high school students are failing their classes across the province, and fewer are graduating. Math, science, and French classes seem to be the most challenging disciplines. Esther, what can you tell us about the students' failures?
Fewer students are graduating this year than ever before, and those who are not graduating with good grades. According to the Ministère de l'Éducation, in 2018, the pass rate for the secondary 5 French courses were at 91%, but in June this year, it was at 87.1%. And this is noticeable at the university level. Students entering university do not know the basics to succeed in their university courses. Here is Paul Gott, a journalism university professor at Concordia University, who believes students have to learn the basics again.
I think one of the problems is that we're simply like we're losing the basics in high schools, and we're not teaching literally the ABCs.
On the other hand, Hannah Rowe, MATA for the Institute of History and Science of Technology at the University of Toronto, says in her experience, people took her class because they thought they could get an easy A.
So those who thought it was going to be an easy A were sort of blinded by the fact that they had a lack of history training. And so those who performed best were probably the humanities.
What is certain is that online schools gave students way more leeway, and the return to in-person schools has highlighted glaring differences in results. This needs to change.
How will students adapt?
Confinement during the pandemic permitted students more leeway on their assignments, but now that things are relatively back to a new normal, students are having trouble. Here is Paul Gott again, telling us what the problem is.
There certainly is some more training that needs to be done for when students come in the first year. Some of them aren't actually, we're supposed to be teaching them how to do advanced writing and for journalism, and sometimes we have to go back to the basics, and that is a problem.
What we hear is we might need a whole educational reform.
What should be done to help the students?
Well, as TA Hannah suggests, we implement more history classes at the high school level. Here she is explaining it.
A stronger implementation of broad knowledge courses, including history, at the high school level.
Gott thinks it would be beneficial that there be more training done for students coming into their first year of university. He also believes there are not enough teachers hired. With this teacher shortage, there are not enough teachers for specific select courses. These numbers and testimonials show that the education system is breaking and we need to act now.
Thank you, Esther. The Habs will try to end their losing streak tonight. Judo Canada takes a stand against abuse in sport, and the Raptors are defeated by the Bulls. Tatiana Mulowayi-Peltier has all our sports news.
Fred, step back three. His name is Fred Van Vliet. Down.
The Toronto Raptors lost their second game to the Chicago Bulls 111-97 last night. Point guard Fred Van Vliet led the team by scoring 27 points, but it was not enough to beat the Bulls. The loss came after one of Toronto's top players, Pascal Siakam, was injured in a game last Saturday. It will be out for 2 weeks at least.
One-sided. That's going to be it. That's a Wazeri scored. That's
Judo Canada announced that it would join the Abuse Free Sport Program, the latest sport organization to do so. The anti-abuse program was put in place by the federal government to address and prevent maltreatment in sport. This news comes after sexual abuse and misconduct scandal hits multiple Canadian sport bodies. The program will be implemented by Judo Canada in January 2023.
Doc to Caulfield, back for Doc. Kirby Doc to Nick Suzuki, scores!
The Canadiens will face the Detroit Red Wings tonight for the 13th game of the season. They lost their three last games, but will try to come back from this slump in Detroit. Their last game against the Red Wings ended in a 3-0 loss for Montreal. In other news, we will know this weekend who will be wearing Canada's red jersey to face Belgium on November 23rd. Despite an injury scare, star player Alphonso Davies should be on the field for the opening game of the tournament in Qatar.
Big-time celebrities make glamorous appearances at a fashion awards show. Jimmy Kimmel is announced as the host of the 2023 Oscars, and Hubert Lenoir takes home three Felix Trophies at the 2022 Addis Gala. Here's Louis Brand-Newhook with all our new arts and entertainment news.
That's Hubert Lenoir performing his song Dimanche Soir at the 44th Addis Gala last Sunday night. But that wasn't the Quebecois singer-songwriter's only highlight of the night. Lenoir took home not one, but three Félix trophies out of only 10 awarded at the show. This was the first Addis Gala without restrictions in over 3 years. In other important news, Chris Evans was declared People's 2022 Sexiest Man Alive. As a thank you, Evans announced that he hopes his mom will be proud. He sure owes her a cut of his paycheck after she gave him those genetically appealing looks that made his whole career.
There's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Moonlight won. Warren, what did you do?
Fans will be seeing a familiar face at the 2023 Oscars. After two previous gigs in 2017 Moonlight. And 2018, late-night talk show host Jimmy Kimmel announced that he will take on the challenge once more, declaring in a later statement that the opportunity is either a great honor or a trap. Kimmel famously hosted the Oscars 5 years ago when the award for Best Picture was mistakenly awarded to La La Land instead of Moonlight. Let's hope history doesn't repeat itself.
I mean, if you were to ask my teenage self if I thought this is where it would be, absolutely not. So to get an award like this, I get how important that is. And the whole.
And finally, Kim Kardashian was only one of many celebrities who took home awards at the Council of Fashion Designers of America last night. The celebrity's shapewear brand, Skims, took home the first ever innovation award. But other stars also showed out at the event. Bradley Cooper and Cher spoke at the show, among others, and Lenny Kravitz was awarded the Fashion Icon Award. The CFDA Awards are the fashion industry's highest awarded prizes in the United States and will take place once again next fall. And that's all your news for arts and entertainment.
Thank you, Louise. A lunar eclipse makes the moon turn red. The total lunar eclipse lasted from 1 to 7 a.m. this morning. Some Quebecers struggled to watch the eclipse because the moon set as it happened. It was the last eclipse of the year, and NASA says the next one will be in 2025. Today will stay sunny at around 3 degrees. Tomorrow and Thursday will be mainly sunny as well, with temperatures from 7 to 14 degrees. A few showers are expected on Friday and Saturday, but the sun will come back on Sunday at about minus 1. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I am Leila Aumont.